you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It is always an opportunity to be able to minister in front of you, and I do not take it lightly. I thank God for the opportunity, and I thank God for our leader trusting me to minister the word to you. First of all, let's bow our heads as I pray for the message. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, as you give me the opportunity to speak to your people, let them not hear me, but let them hear your voice. Let us be on the same frequency, O God, that they may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Open up our ears. Open up our eyes. Open up our spirits to be receptive, that we may receive the word of life that is quick and is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word that will fill us up, that would empower us, that will anoint us afresh. Lord, Father God, I pray for every individual here this morning that you will meet our needs individually and corporately, that you will speak to us individually and corporately. Lord, touch my lips, these lips of clay, that it will speak your word, speak with power and authority, with boldness and dominion, Lord, that you will be lifted up on high, the devil will be terrified, and your people will be edified, and the Spirit of God will fall fresh in this place, and I will forgive you glory, honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First of all, I would like to give honor to God, who is the head of my life, and to everyone that's here this morning, to Pastor and First Lady. I don't hear you clapping, because if it was a judge, you'll be standing. Remain standing. Let me say that again, to our Pastor and First Lady, the angels of this house, to all the ministers, the deacons, to all of you that are of the household of faith. Let's please turn our Bibles to James, the first chapter. Remain standing. Y'all too quick to sit down. Y'all know how our opera, we give honor where honor is due. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We're going to be reading the NIV version of this. And it reads as this. I'll just read from the monitor so everybody will get the clear understanding. You can read with me. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that ye may be able to mature and completely not lacking anything. You may be seated. And if I had a topic for this morning or a subject, fighting for your faith. Last week, Pastor spoke about faith, and as he was ministering the word of God, it would just kept on coming to me. And I was like, if you preach it, how am I going to preach next week or teach next week? So as the Holy Ghost began to speak to me, and as he gave me this week the word of God for you, he talked about fighting for your faith. The dictionary's definition of faith is belief in devotion to or trust in someone or something, especially without logic proof. It also defines faith as belief in devotion in God. Faith is believing in what is true. Faith has two elements: being convinced of the truth and being certain of reality, having evidence of things not seen. Believing and hoping and embracing and seizing the truth. While faith requires being convinced that what we believe in is true, just know that the truth is only half of the faith. God's word must be hoped for, embraced, and seized. And we can test that. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we hear the word of God, we are all experiencing some form of attack. But there's two types of attack that we can go through as believers. One, it is permitted by God. Two, because of our disobedience. You must search the scriptures or ask God in prayer, what type of attack is this? Oftentimes, whenever the attack is permitted by God, It is the testing of our faith. If the attack is due to our disobedience, according to Samuel 15 and 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Many of us, the reason why we are experiencing some of the things that we are going through, it is totally because of our disobedience. I have never seen so many disobedient people in the kingdom of God. These people want to do whatever they want, how they want, when they want. They have no respect for leadership. They are unsubmissive. They are disobedient. They are unloyal. They are unfaithful. They are uncommitted. They are unsubmissive, but they want God to bless their mess and think that you are going into the kingdom of God. God said, I am a God of order. And anything that's out of order and deal with confusion is of the enemy. And so we see these individuals, you always want a financial blessing, but you won't pay your tithes on your offering. God can't even trust you with $100, but you want him to give you $1 million. God is not impressed by your tongues. God is not impressed with you showing up half the time. God is tired of part-time lovers. He said, I want people that are willing to submit to me. I want people that who are willing to get their hearts changed. I want people that want to be discipled. I want people that want to serve, not to be served, but to become servant. Too many of us have not served, but want to be served first. Jesus said, I came into the world not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom. When are we going to pick that mentality up? When are we going to submit to God? When are we going to commit ourselves to something other than trying to get more money? When are we going to submit to something other than our job, which you think that your job is your source? What if God decides to take your job? Will you still trust God? Will you still believe that he's a way maker? Will you still understand that he is your Jehovah Jireh, not your job, not your boss? God wants people that are going to be loyal. You can hardly find people that are loyal in the kingdom of God. They'll do anything to get a position. They'll do anything to get money. They'll do anything to get to the top. Some of them have the spirit of a vagabond. They'll go to this church, that church, that church, that church, and create havoc at every church they go because they don't want to submit to leadership. They don't want to be obedient to anybody, but they want to be blessed. You can't be blessed and be a mess. Being blessed calls for obedience. The Bible said, because of your obedience, you shall eat the good of the land. Which meaning I will give you the blessing when you are obedient. And you are jealous of others because they got it going on. And the reason why you ain't got it going on because you don't want to submit. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to work. The pastor can't even ask you to pick up a broom. You said, that ain't my title. That's not what I'm called to do. You ain't called to do anything if you can't submit to leadership. If you can't clean the bathroom, you ain't anointed anyway. Because first you got to serve in order to be used. I have never seen so many people that want to dictate but don't want to receive the dictation. When it's on the other side, oh, I don't do that. That's why you can't be blessed. Ministry calls for submission. Where I'm trained, they taught me submission brings success. Submissions bring the blessing. Submissions bring elevation. And the reason why pastor can't trust many of you, because you don't even come to church on time. We can't even see you for Bible study, but you want to preach on Sunday. Sit your butt down with your unfaithful self. How pastor gonna trust you, and he can't even trust you to pay your tithes and give your offering? When he look at the report, you're a leader, and it's a mess, and you think that God want to bless you. wants obedience from us. God wants submission. God wants us to be delivered as a church. You ain't going to go into heaven, think that you can do whatever you want. You could go to hell anyhow, but you ain't going to go to heaven anyhow. There's requirements to going into heaven. There is requirements. Because if you can't submit to him, you ain't going to submit to God up there. That's what happened to the devil. That's where he got kicked out. Because he wasn't submitted to God, and he thought that he was bigger than God. He was better than God. So God said, there ain't going to be one ruler here, and I am the supreme. So you've got to go, and I will remain. God wants each and every one of us to walk in the spirit of obedience. Obedient will bring your deliverance. The reason why you are sick, God said for me to tell you. That's why you're going through so much issues, because of your disobedience. He said every time they prayed off of you, that it comes off, but because of your disobedience, it comes right back. He said, I can't deliver you until you submit. I can't deliver you till you commit. I can't deliver you till you become faithful over a few things. Faithful over your prayer life. Let's start there. Faithful over giving your tithes and your offering. Faithful in coming on church on time. Being faithful to serving where you're not. See, your spirit is going by how well you serve here. Because you ain't going to get no monetary for your service. But when you get spiritual blessing, it shows your obedience. I know it's hard to swallow it or not swallow it. I had to swallow it too and get it right. God is tired of double-tongued, double-minded people, lukewarm individuals, that all they want to do is do whatever they want to do, when they want to do, how they want to do it, and think that God is pleased. And some of you think that you're getting away with what you're doing. He says, I'm only giving you enough room before I pull you back. He says, some of you are going to be shipwrecked if you don't repent. We are inside of a state of so much disarray in the kingdom of God because people have been self-told by deceptive spirits and seducing spirit that you are called to do things which you are not even called. How dare you say that you're called when you have not checked with your leader? You want to do anything you want to do, how you want to do, when you want to do it. And think that pastor's supposed to deputize you to do what you want to do because you feel that's what God called you to do. No, you better go back in prayer and make your calling election sure. We got too many people in the kingdom of God out of place and out of order. That's why God wants to bless our church, but there's some people in here that's out of order. And because he wants to bless us corporately, you keep only seeing the individual blessings and some corporate blessing, but he wants to bless us fully corporately. So some of y'all need to get it right. Some of y'all need to repent. Because God is tired of your mess. And your mess has come up to here to him. God wants us to be trained as sons and daughters, not as bastards. God wants us to have the love of Christ. God wants us to have the spirit of humility. God wants us to have the spirit of his spirit, not of our own kind. If the attack is permitted by God, then it's the trying of our faith. We are all under attack in some area of our faith. Our faith is being tested. The Bible says in 1 Peter 7:1 that the trying of your faith being more precious than of gold that perishes though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. We are all experiencing something. We are all going through. Some of us are dealing with family issues. issues. Some of us are dealing with children issues. Some of us are dealing with children things in our job. Some of us are dealing with issues with our wives. Some of us are going through financial issues. Some of us are going through attack in our mind. Some of us are oppressed. Some of us are depressed. Some of us can't even function without taking medication. But God said, the reason why you're under that attack is because of the trying of your faith. Is if any man that come after me, he must pick up his cross daily and follow me. He that findeth his life will lose his life. He that gives up his life will gain his life. You've got to be willing to give up your life to Jesus Christ so he can work in you and through you. Many times these tests and trials that we are going through, even before we overcome the first one, the next one is already coming. While you are experiencing what you're going through now, the next 2 days, the other one is coming, and you're like, God, what is going on? Why is there so much pressure? I'm stressed because of all these issues and things that are going on in my life. How is this going on? But God is letting you know that it's the trying of your faith. The Bible says in Acts 15 and 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must go through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus told us to warn ourselves and watch as well as pray, because if they did it to me, they'll do it to you. And your faith is being tested. And if you give up now, you will lose everything. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, 3 and 5, it says, verses 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patient, and patient experience. Experience hope, and hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let me explain that. Patience. Having the ability to ask God for help as we wait on him for what we are asking him for. Sometimes your deliverance is not always right now. Sometimes you've already, when you pray the prayer, you're already delivered, but the manifestation takes a while. Sometimes you're asking God to deliver you and to deliver your family. God has already done it, but are you willing to wait on God and to trust God even though you see the circumstances before you? Because faith said, I have to trust God even when I don't see it. Faith said, I've got to trust God even while at times my faith may waver, but I got to know that God, if he delivered me from that, he'll deliver me from this. Sometimes your faith has to go through the fire. Sometimes you ask God for something, he said, wait a while. Sometimes he's preparing you for a bigger blessing. Sometimes you may ask for one call, he'll give you a better call. Sometimes you may ask for just your husband, but he will deliver your husband, your son, and your daughter at the same time. You just want one blessing, but he wants to give you the hundredfold blessing. Sometimes we only want the 30 or the 60, but God said, I want to give you the 100. Patience to wait on God. Daniel waited 21 days to get his deliverance. The woman with the issue of blood went through 12 years of walking, doing all everything she can. She went through every doctor. She went through every physician. She went through every person. She went through naturopath. She went to the voodoo man. She went to everybody. But as soon as she came to Jesus, oh my God, delivered. As soon as she touched the hem of his garment, there was breakthrough. As soon as she went in to the glory of glory, God delivered. Sometimes you've got to come out from your comfort zone. Sometimes you've got to press to the mark of the high calling. Sometimes you've got to go beyond your comfort zone to receive your miracle. what you used to do ain't gonna get that blessing. You got to do something different to get that miracle. Sometimes you got to shake heaven. Sometimes you got to press. Sometimes you got to shout. Sometimes you got to sing songs of Zion. Sometimes you got to pray all night. Sometimes you got to turn down your plate for your deliverance. It is not just the simple. Sometimes God does these things to see and to show you that all the scriptures that you've been studying, you've got a weapon in your mouth to fight the enemy. Because sometimes we have faith but a little fear. He wants to get rid of all the fear and strengthen all the faith. Because where we are going in the kingdom of God, we have to be stable, standing on the solid rock, to know that we know that whatever we ask God in prayer for, believing that he answers us, because we know that when we pray, he hears every word. He may not answer right away, but he will bring it out sooner or later. Just trust him a little while. Wait a little while. Be a little bit patient. Hold on to his unchanging hands. Hold on until he bring you out and bring you through. You gotta wait. You gotta wait a little while. Sometimes it is so hard and it's so difficult while you are going through the testing that nobody else feels your pain. Nobody else understands what you're going through. Nobody else sees the tears but God. Nobody knows the cries that you have cried in the midnight hour while you are pacing the floor. Nobody sees the agony. Nobody sees the blood, the sweat, and the tears that you are going through just to get your deliverance, just to get your miracle, just to get what you're asking him for. Oh, sometimes it feels like you're all alone. But he said, I'll never leave you. No, I will forsake you. I will be with you even until the end of the world. I assured you, when mother was going through with her son, she couldn't give up. She had to keep pressing. She had to keep praying. Even when all her children may have felt like something is going to go wrong with their brother, but she kept the faith. She kept on believing. She kept on trusting God, because she knew that while she was walking with God all them years, God was preparing her for that moment. Everything that you have experienced up to this time was God giving you the experience to know who he is and whose you are. And if you know who he is, you know that he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that will provide. If he can send manna from heaven and water out of a rock for the people of Israel, why can he not pay your bills? Why can he not bless you with that blessing that you ask him for when you are submissive and obedient? The experience. The second part of the text, the scripture says experience. If you never go through nothing, you can't tell anybody about nothing. No test, no testimony. No fire, no purification. No experience, no justification. No trial, no sanctification. No going through the storm, no righteousness and holiness. We've had to go through some things in the time of experience to be able to tell somebody, I know, honey, you may not see it right now, but I remember when I didn't have money and God made a way. I remember, some of you can testify, when you opened the cabinet, there was nothing in it. But about a few hours later, somebody knocked at your door, showed up at grocery. When you looked at the light bill, it was $500. And when you look at it again and call the light company, they said, we owe you a credit. You don't owe us nothing. When you get on your job and they're agitating you and frustrate you all week long, and you pray and you intercede, and all of a sudden your boss calls you in the office and tells you, I'm about to give you an award. I'm about to elevate you. I'm about to place you over those that persecute you. And you said, only that could be God. Experience. The next part of it is this hope. We got to keep hope. We got to keep believing. One of the trick of the enemy to tell you that if you don't see it, don't believe it. But remember, Abraham did not see it, but believed it. And now he is the father of many nations. When he brought his son to the altar, he trusted God so much. It was his only son. Remember, he was over 100. He trusted God so much, he was about to kill him. But God prepared a ram, a lamb for it. You've got to trust God so much that even if your wife or husband tell you to stop believing, you got to keep believing. Look at what happened to Job. He lost everything. And his wife said, curse God and die. But what did he do? He kept persevering. He kept believing. He kept trusting. He kept relying. He kept remembering how good God is. He kept understanding that I know the God that I serve. He's only bringing me through something, but I'm about to come out. I'm about to come out with everything. I'm about to come out like the people of Israel. I'm about to come out of the wilderness. I'm about to come out of Egypt with all the spoils. I'm not just coming out just with something, but I'm coming out with everything. Sometimes while you are inside of your mess, God is preparing you for a double blessing. We are all a witness because he's bringing us out. And you got to look at the people of Israel. All the signs and all the wonders that they have experienced, everything that they went through, and God kept their promise and brought them in. Many of us right now, God promised you some stuff. How many got some promises that God promised us? How many of us are believing that God is going to bring it to pass? Keep holding on. It's coming to pass. You may not see it, but keep believing. Keep hoping. Keep trusting. Keep knowing that it's coming to pass. Make it not a shame. One of the other things that the enemy wants to tell you to stop trusting God. Go do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. The Bible said, make not ashamed. We are not ashamed because we trust in God. And we know that God is true to his character. Even when you and I are unfaithful, he is still faithful. If he said it, shall he not make it good? He said, I'm not a man that I shall lie. He said that. He said, if my word says I will give you I. If my word says blue, I will bless blue. That's the thing that you must understand. He's not going to change who he is because of who we are. He will remain faithful to his character. It is us that changes. God said, I'll not make you ashamed. So we understand as we go through this journey of life, we are going to experience trouble. One of the biggest trouble that many of us are going to experience in the kingdom of God, and I'm going to share this with you, about many years back, I experienced one of the most difficult part of ministry that I have ever experienced concerning dealing with church people. Church hurt. Have you ever been hurt by a brother or a sister in Christ, and it hurts you to the core? But I'm telling you something. Every one of us will go through that. Why? Because if Jesus went through it with Judas, why are you different? Why are you different? The experience of that shaped me. I couldn't believe this happened. I couldn't believe this situation. And it was with a pastor. It wasn't with just a normal, you know, we're all normal. But I'm saying it wasn't just a servant, just a regular member. It was a leader who knew better. But God wanted to. I was so turned off from church. I didn't want to hear church. I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't study no Bible. I didn't want, and I'm one of those people. The only time you don't see me here or see me at church anywhere is when I'm sick or on vacation. And usually I try to find a place where I go, if I'm going on vacation, to try to go to a church there. I didn't want to hear nothing about God. Don't speak nothing about God, for I'll punch you in your mouth. But God had to bring me back and say, listen,
Your salvation is not tied to man. Your salvation is tied to me. When you move your perspective off of man and onto God, you understand that your relationship, you're going to be attacked. And some of our greatest attack is going to come from the person that sleep right next to you. Your greatest attack is going to come from your kids because they know how to turn it. Some of your greatest attack will come from the people that you gave everything to. People that you brought into your house, fed with your food, but will walk and talk about you like a dog. They will scandalize your name, disrespect you in public, and act like they never knew you. That's where we got to be prepared for. That's why the Bible says put on the full armor of God. Because everyone is a potential threat to your salvation. That's why it said, you must first deny yourself. Deny yourself. See, I was in self. Because if I had denied myself, I would have rolled off of my back. It wouldn't have affected me like it did. But God had to teach me something. And that's what's wrong with many of us when we go through experiences at church and stuff hurt us and people say stuff. We leave church and think that you're going to get an excuse when you go before God. God said, no. Don't get it twisted. It's going to happen. You're not going to like everything that pastor preaches. You're not going to like everything that the leader over the department that you're under says to you. But you got to take it and pray over it. Because you got to understand, they have rule over you. You ain't got to get them, but God will. I don't know too many Holy Ghost leaders, while you're sleeping, if you did something wrong, God don't talk to you. Sometimes God don't make me sleep. So you ain't going to sleep tonight. So you might as well get the repenting. Until you get yourself right, you ain't going to have no sleep. You'll be drinking coffee tomorrow at work. Because when the Holy Ghost is in you, it will unction you and say, you did something wrong. It's those people that say they have the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost never tell them that they're wrong. You got to watch those people. Watch them people. Because we are all accounted to each other. We are all brothers and sisters. And we're all going to make mistakes. But at the end of the day, don't let church hurt cause you to lose your relationship with God. You have that excuse and think that when you get in front of God, God is going to be like, oh, because they hurt you, you're going to come on in. The devil is a liar. That is a spirit of deception. Because if Jesus went through all he went through, you got to go through some stuff too. Without trouble and trials, there's no victory. There's no cross. There's no deliverance. There's no miracle. There's no healing. There's no blessing. We all got to go through that. Do you think I like everything that pastor say to me? I love pastor, but it's not everything. Even my boss at my job, it's not everything they said to me I like. But thank God for the Holy Ghost holding my tongue. Y'all know it's the truth. Come on in here. Y'all know that not everything that comes over some people's mouth is right. Because not some of them ain't safe. And they'll say anything, do anything when they want. So you've got to arm yourself. As we go through this journey of life, as we go through church hurt and dealing with different experiences, God is trying to get our attention. Sometimes even the issues that we're dealing with are family issues, and sometimes God is trying to get our family's attention. It's not your attention, but we pick up their cross and their burden, and we get burdened down by their issues and their circumstance. We get stressed out and frustrated, aggravated, and think that God wants us to deal with it. No, God said, bring them to me and leave them at the altar. One of the greatest weight that family have is mothers and fathers, mostly mothers, have their children on their shoulder. And y'all mothers could tell me if it's true or not. You have your children on your shoulder. It hurts you to the core when you have trained up a child in the way they should go and they have departed. It hurts you to the core when you have instilled so much in them. You spend so much money sending them to school. You spend so much time investing in them. And they ain't even using the degrees that you paid for, that you're still paying for. it's true. It hurts you. And you keep praying. And sometimes the stress becomes so overwhelming that your blood pressure rises. Some of you have gotten to the place where you are depressed and say, how could this happen to me, God? And God said, why not? You won't give it to me, so that's why it happens to you. My burden is light and my yoke is what? So why do you keep holding on to the yoke and the burden? Give it to him. If Satan could get us to stop believing God, we will lose faith and hope in God. His ultimate goal is to cause you to lose your soul and to stop having faith. Satan is not impressed by your tongue. He got people that speak in tongues. He's not impressed by you going into warfare with a prayer shawl when you come out and no results, no power, no authority. You're still the same. When you ain't got no faith to believe that whatever you had prayed, it is already settled. You must have faith in God without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to trust God and stand on his word, no matter what the circumstances. Christianity is essential that we must believe and have faith. Without demonstrating faith and trusting God, we have no place with him. Our faith can falter at times, but because it is the gift of God given to his children, he strengthens us, and we must contend at all times for the faith. God wants us to totally depend on him in all areas of our lives because we belong to him. Your faith is given to you to receive the victory through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the author and the finisher of each and every one of our faith. If we trust in him and rely on him, he will bring us to the resultant end. But only through us believing in him, only through us trusting in him, only through us relying totally on him, not on our husband, not on our wife, not on our pastor, not on the minister, but on Jesus Christ. For everyone is born of God, overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have the victory. And the reason why we are in the circumstances, some of us, we are because we don't believe Jesus Christ. We don't believe God. We don't even know who we are. We don't know what authority we got. We don't understand we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We keep saying, I'm more than a conqueror. But are you really a conqueror? When the enemy come upon you, you get weak and timid. We are more than a conqueror. We are mighty through God. We have the victory. Every time the enemy come up against you, you should already know that you already won the victory. You should already know that everything that you will go through, you will be victorious, no matter what it looks like, because Jesus has already won it on the cross. And because he won it, you have the victory. We have the power. He said, I gave you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Not just some, but all the power. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We got to know who we are and whose we are. And we got to arm ourselves every single day for battle. Not just on Sundays, but every day. Because the devil is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Jesus said, Peter, the enemy desired to sift you like wheat. We've got to be ready and armed at all time. And how we are ready is by using the weapon of our warfare, using the word of God to defeat the enemy. We have to know that finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the full armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, every trick, every plan, every scheme, every spirit of deception. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in dark places, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But you must stand in the time of adversity. As you know who you are, you can fight the good fight of faith. Because each and every one of us is fighting for our faith. Because if you lose your faith, you lose salvation. If you lose your faith, you lose eternal life. If you lose your faith, you lost your way. You have departed from the way, the truth, and the life. But if you remain, you will have eternal life. And you will walk into that glorious place and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Stand.